update that I've been thinking about the last few days, something that many of you have thought about also over the course of the last few days as well, probably an area that is an ongoing challenge in many ways. As Yontif concluded this past Friday night, I'm sure I was not alone in feeling a certain sag of energy, perhaps in a very low level, certain depression, that this period, this tekufa, was over. We feel so lucky that for all of us who look for moments of inspiration, that Elul leading into Rosh Hashanah, leading into Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah, it really just allows a momentum to build. It allows and creates on a yearly basis moments of Kirvas Elokim, a sense of a moed, of a visiting, of a connection. It's such, I don't even know the right word, but just to live with a calendar that allows you to experience those highs and lows. And then all of a sudden it's over. And right around the same time, the leaves fall off the trees. And you come back to Amsterdam Avenue and the wind is blowing and a sort of feeling of the beginning of Cheshvan and Chorev Zman and months and months and months until, you know, Pesach's around the corner and a new Zman begins. And really you just feel a certain, almost like a sagging energy. And like coming back again. In the context of that thought, I thought to myself, how many guys in our yeshiva, or in any yeshiva, this is not a criticism by any means about YU. You know, sometimes when you're in YU, it's easy to say, oh, this is like a YU issue, but if I was learning in, you know, over there, so then, you know, we wouldn't have these issues, and then you go over there, and that place also has the same issues, but if I was over there, these are areas or issues that are across the board. But how many guys in our yeshiva would you say, especially as the Chorev Zman begins, and sometimes a person has to fight against a low energy, how many guys would you say really have a true hislavus for Talmud Torah? A person who feels when they walk through the doors of morning Seder, night Seder, they do so with a sense of excitement and zeal, with a hop in their step, so to speak. A person who feels, I'd rather be doing this than anything else. This is where my heart is. This is where my passions are. I'm inspired. I'm alive. I'm enthusiastic. I'm running. Like how many, what's the percentage of guys in our yeshiva that approach limudim with that sense of energy, that sense of passion, that sense of connection? I'm not sure where you'd place the number. I would imagine, again, without polling anybody here, you might probably imagine that a third of the guys in yeshiva have it, a third of the guys never had it, in Shalavim or Nitiv Aryeh or anywhere else or no matter where they were. And probably a third had it at some point in their life, a summer, a year, a rooftop summer in Israel. And now a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years later, you just find that there's nothing there. And I come and I learn suvos, but there's no passion. And if I had an excuse to do something else, I would do it. And then if you're that person, and just being in this job for 10, 11 years, there are hundreds and hundreds of guys who are like that. So you find yourself in a great quandary of like, where exactly do I go from here? I know the value of Lima Torah. I know that what I'm doing is correct. I know that I'm making decisions for my future and who I identify with and my associations and who I'm going to marry. I know there's a value of Talmud Torah, but I'm simply not enjoying experience. It's like a chore. Now I'm looking at the clock when it's over. There's no hislavas. And where do I go from here? Do I stop learning the way that many of your chaverim have? Do I drop out? Do I cut down on hours? Do I change programs? Do I place my energies elsewhere in areas that perhaps I find more hana in? How important is it to be inspired? How much do I need that avas haTorah to learn? Is hislavus even a prerequisite? Is it something that's just almost like a fool's gold, but I shouldn't even pay heed to? What does a person do when they feel that sincere lack of passion, but they're still expected to come day in, day out, year in, year out? The reality is that the very topic of inspiration, of passion, of revelation, is a deeply complicated topic. If I ask you, is inspiration important? I'm sure everyone would say yes. Was revelation important in the history of the Jewish people? Was passion important? If I ask you to identify the times in Klal Yisrael of probably the greatest Gilui Shechina, we know the famous Rashi by Noach HaTzadik of Noach Miktani Amunahava, that even Noach, who had perhaps the most intense Gilui Shechina, but because perhaps Noach was not living in a door, in a time that supported those ambitions, so Noach himself was challenged, as the Stipler says, to have a real Amunah Chushit. If I tell you about the Shifchal Hayam and the Dor HaMidbar and the great revelation there, but yet just days later, Vayisu Mehar Hashem, because even with that inspiration and revelation, the nation themselves were not mature enough. They hadn't broken out of Avdus, like the famous Ibn Ezra. There was no meaningful, healthy context in their life. If I tell you about Bayis Rishon, who wouldn't dream to go back to the days of Bayis Rishon, of Nevuah and Karbonos, and everything that existed there? But you see the life of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, you see the life of Bnei Yisrael, because they couldn't inoculate themselves even with that inspiration and revelation and nevuah from the challenges of Avodah Zarah. So we see the greatest moments of inspiration and revelation, they mean nothing unless a person just has a very healthy, disciplined context, program, background, chinuch. You know, we think about, and I'm sensitive to the clock, we think about the system that so many of us went through, of just sort of elementary school, not so into it, high school, not so into it, and then all of a sudden, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, it's never the way you would draw it up. It's like counting on inspiration, it's counting on revelation, it's counting on a creation, a passion. But yet at the same time, we realize that without that passion and without that inspiration, you know, who would fall in love? You know, who would get married? Who would take on great ambitions in their life? Who would be propelled forward? Who would accomplish anything? So we know that we need it, but we're also skeptical about the vagaries and the rise and fall and the ups and downs of passion and inspiration. I want to, before just mentioning a few thoughts on the topic, maybe in a more lamaisa fashion, I just want to allude to a very famous idea of tzaddok, which is really worth learning in the Tzikos HaTzaddik. But it's a great approach to life in general. If a person is feeling the challenges of, for instance, where tzaddok discussed, which he discussed in many places, the challenges of taiva. So the average person would be embarrassed, they would feel inadequate, they would say, what's wrong with me? But Sadat says, don't feel embarrassed. He said, those challenges, the greatest challenges in your life, are telling you that the area of challenge is potentially the greatest area of Tahara. That the area that you feel most maligned in should be the area that you feel, this is the area of Chashivas. This is the area that really means something to me. This is the area that I have to fight for. This is the area that's going to be the centerpiece of my life and Avodas Hashem. So when a person feels almost like a complete lack of passion for Lima Torah or for Tefillah, instead of like putting one's head between their legs and feeling embarrassed, say, this is my way of identifying that these are the areas of my life that truly are important, and to embrace that struggle, to feel ennobled by that struggle. I never saw anybody say this, but I always thought that the imagery of Bnei Yisrael placing the Shivrei Luchos into the Mizbeach, into the Aron Kodesh, you don't sort of take the Shluchos and run from it, and you're embarrassed by it, and you're humiliated. Like, you place it in the center of your life, and you say, this is going to be the area that's going to be the great strength of my life. And so when we all, every single person in this room, struggles with motivation and passion and longing, and so, you know, like, these are dafka the areas. Like, this is the sign for myself that this is something that I need to engage in, and I need to struggle in, and there's a beauty in that. Rav Kook describes so beautifully sort of the feeling of beauty of feeling somewhat broken. And that's a little bit of this. It's not something to run from. It's not something to be embarrassed about. It's something to accept, embrace, and to work from there. But maybe in a more lemaisa way, I want to encourage people, I'm sure many of you have already, I think everyone, every Ben Yeshiva should learn Ali Shor, begin with Chelek Rishon. The insights in Ali Shor speak to our generation, I think, in ways that no other Sefer is able to. And he describes in Ali Shor in just an absolutely critical piece called Yimei Ava, Yimei Sinna. I'm sure many of you learned it before. Quoting Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYashar, that every person should realize that if an Ava develops, a person loves a woman, a passion develops for his future wife, it's almost by definition that the Yimei Sinna have to follow. It's impossible, says Rabbeinu Tam, I think all of us know this, to live in a state of Yimei Ava, a state of inspiration, of passion in any area of life. And we have to recognize that those Yimei Sinna are coming, and a Bar Das realizes that it's absolutely natural and it needs to exist, it has to exist. And the only question is, how do they navigate between the Yimei Ava and the Yimei Sinna? How to balance between those two? So Rav Volpe says in Koy Rebbeinu Tam that if you're a person that during the Yimei Ava, you have so much Ava, you're so passionate, that almost propels you forward during the Yimei Sinna. You can almost tap into what you felt like during those Yimei Ava. And that's absolutely true. But he says, even if you don't have that, if you're a Bar Seichel, you can find the way of navigating either A, when you're in the Yimei Ava, or B, when you're in between the Yimei Ava and the Yimei Sinna. What does it mean to be a Bar Seichel, says Rav Volpe? Rav Volpe says, hischachus, creating newness. Now, it's not clear what he means, but I'll tell you what I think is critical. A person who falls into the pattern, as we all do, Yimei Ava, Yimei Sinna, it's because their learning has become like hergel. It's just what I do. I come, I learn Iyun, I'm not really accomplishing much, I'm not finishing Masechtos, it's what I do day in and day out. I don't really sort of see growth. It just becomes sort of part of my schedule like anything else. And when a person's ever in that state, in anything in life, a person requires very thoughtful hischachus, newness. Newness that breaks away from just the boredom of the pattern of life. Newness of one night staying in the Beis Medrash late with a few friends in the back of a Beis Medrash, even just to be in the Beis Medrash. Newness of, on a Shabbos, when a person's exhausted, say, you know what, I'm going to go on a Friday night, I'm going to sit by myself in my shul, I'm going to learn for an hour or two. Newness of a new Seder, perhaps in the morning, that just, even a few minutes, it helps us generate a new momentum. And hischachus, maybe just as importantly, of feeling as though that I'm accomplishing. And I know that it sounds silly, but if a person says, I have a goal, I'm 21 years old now, but by age 30, I want to finish all of Nashim, Gemara, Shas, all of Moed, The person says, every year I'm going to finish a Masechta. And I have 2 weeks off now, I'm going to finish this Perek. And every summer I'm going to make a Siyum in honor of a grandparent's yurt site. And every stage of your life, you feel like you're moving towards something, and you feel like you're alive, and you feel like there's a beginning, and there's an end, and there's growth, and there's accomplishment. And so that's the way you navigate in between the Yemei Av and Yemei Sina. But that's a person who's a Bar Seichel. And even more so, a person who's a Bar Seichel, Rav Volpe says this briefly, but I can't stress it enough. A person, for instance, begins medical school, as many of you will have the honor of doing so in a few years. And I used to be the rabbi in Einstein. I just want to apologize. I would never, ever be about chutzpah to do this, but if I just go 5 minutes over, a few minutes over, I very much apologize and thank you for your time. A person's in medical school, like so much of what they're doing, just they're, you know, it's like torturous. But most people say, I'm not going to drop out. This is the life that I think has value. Okay, I love it. I don't love it. I'm running to class. But a person makes value decisions of what they think is significant. It's not always because I'm inspired, I have this lavus. No, but there's like a value in my life of what I want to become, what I want my future to become. And when a person is in that state between the Yemei Av and Yemei Sina, I'm not feeling inspired, I'm not feeling... It's in that a person says, okay, I'm not inspired. I'm not loving what I'm doing. But let me make a value decision of what I think is important for my life, for my future, what type of home I want to have, what type of person I want to marry, what type of values I want to have. There are value decisions that far outweigh the feelings of the moment or the feelings of the week or the feelings of Zman. And a person who's a mature Bar Seichel knows how to make those decisions and not just fall off and run off like a child when the moments of inspiration fade, as they always fade. There's an amazing Rambam. The Rambam, as I'm sure all of you know, speaks at the end of Hilchos Teshuvah. And I never really noticed it until this year. But the Rambam seems to say two things that on the face value seem to not go together. The Rambam, as I'm sure all of you know, discusses Avos Hashem. And the Rambam in one halacha says that you should do the mitzvos out of Ava. That means doing the emes because it's emes. Not for, as the Rambam says, Olam Haba, not for Yerushimayim. You do what's right, says the Rambam, because it's right. That's one definition of Avos Hashem. And in the very next halacha, the Rambam describes what's real Avos Hashem. Everyone remembers the Rambam says, it's like you're obsessed with God, the way you're obsessed with a woman, you're thinking about God all the time, you're like in an elevated state. So in one halacha, the Rambam says that Avos Hashem is doing something because it's right, just because it's the emes. The next halacha, the Rambam speaking in the most passionate ways of transcendence and shoga batamid and obsessed with God. I think what comes out of the Rambam are two critical points. Number one, life day in and day out is doing something because it's right. And that's what's important to me. And hopefully there are moments that are punctuated with, as Rambam describes, real inspiration and real transcendence and real sort of obsession with Yahadus and real Avos HaTorah, but that perhaps is not going to be all the time. Like in any good marriage, those moments come very intermittently, but day in and day out, it's just commitment to something because you're committed. But the Rambam says that doing something because it's right, that's Avos Hashem also. I'm not necessarily inspired. I'm not on a high. I'm not wandering through the streets of the old city at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I'm doing something because it's right, and that's Avos Hashem. And I only hope that if a person puts in a lifetime of those decisions, of being kovei zmanim, and of becoming a talmid chacham, and of trying to finish shas, even without the inspiration, even without that Yemei Ava, person makes a decision because of value. Person makes decisions because it's emes for the sake of emes. Then with each passing year, each passing decade, person looks back on their life and they say, this is truly the life that I had aspired to. A person looks at the way their kids and the values that your children have been indoctrinated with. A person looks at their home. A person looks at who they become. A person looks back on their life and they say, this is truly a life of value. There's no greater ava than that. There's no greater ava than making decisions of value and looking back in your life and feeling such a sense of simcha for those decisions. Does that mean that every moment is a moment of a passion, of inspiration, of feeling it, of being in the zone, of all the expressions guys use when they're in Israel? Absolutely not. It's a life of value, life of decisions, life of emes. And we hope that the reward of that life is incredibly deep, internal, meaningful, integrated sense of Avas Hashem and sense of Avas Torah. I want to encourage everyone here, first and foremost, to instead of being embarrassed with oneself for a whole host of struggles, to embrace ourselves, to recognize that those struggles speak of an incredible potential for Kedusha. Encourage each person, even this evening, even during Maariv, to think, okay, my learning has become somewhat regulated, but where can I create moments that I truly feel moved in and moved by, moments of newness, moments of aspiration and ambition, and I can't stress enough going through life in that mindset. And lastly, that a person can be okay with and embrace decisions that are made for value and for emes. That's also Avas Hashem, that's also Avas Torah. And to make those decisions knowing that towards the end of our life, that we can leave the world, the Chassam Sofer did. Chassam Sofer was lying on his deathbed, he was surrounded by his family. He embraced each member of his family, he asked his family to leave. And then he said, Ashi Mishabo Lakan, based on the Gemara Pesachim, V'tamudo B'yodo. He hazarded all of his tshuvos and all of his learning, and that's the way he left the world. People say he left the world with such a sense of radiance, such a sense of simcha. If we can live that life of emes and value, we can be mispalel, we can have confidence that forms the totality of a life of Avas Torah and Avas Hashem, and a life that gives us the deepest sense of meaning and the deepest sense of value. Have a good night and a tremendous, tremendous haslacha over this chorev zman and over the course of the rest of the year.